We continue our singing with 188, please. 188. How wondrous a Saviour is God's blessed Son. How great and eternal the work He has done. God's glory maintained by His death on the tree, while mercy flows freely to you and to me. If it's convenient, we'll stand to sing the whole hymn, excluding verse 2. So 1, 3, 4, and 5 of 188, please.
Oh, wondrous Savior, is God's blessed Son.
That were really on my heart when I asked for that hymn to be read out was in verse 4. Oh, why remain Christless when thou mayst be blessed? Oh, why remain weary when Christ giveth rest? That's why we're having the gospel meeting this evening. There's something on offer for you this evening, that Christ gives rest. Are you weary today? Christ can give you rest. Are you without Christ? But He's available for you today. Let's pray. And then we'll begin our meeting shortly. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for those words which we have sang this evening. Jesus loves me. And our Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, how He could love each one of us in here, in this assembly here, this building here. And He can love each one that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die upon that cross of Calvary, so that each one of us can be saved. Each one of us can have peace with Thyself, peace, and have our sins forgiven. Our Father, we thank Thee that we can preach this gospel message this evening, from the youngest to the oldest, that it's the whosoever, and that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Our Father, we pray for help as we preach this gospel message this evening, as the hymn that we've been able to sing and the verses which we will read shortly. We pray, our Father, for a sense of Thy presence, that we might be able to clearly present the gospel. And we pray for those that are here in this building and those that are online. And we pray that If there are still those that are still without Christ, those that are still weary in their sin, that we pray that tonight they might seek rest, they might seek Christ and know peace with God. So our Father, we leave these things with thee, and we just pray for thy help now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If there are any announcements, I'll hand over.
Again, we'd like to give everyone a warm welcome to the meeting tonight. It's nice to see everyone here and make you welcome in the Lord's name. We trust that you'll be blessed for coming this evening. If you're not saved, whether if you're in the hall or listening online, if you're not saved, that you may give heed to the message that will be spoken tonight and realize that you need salvation and God wants to save you. And so we pray that God might save you and you might give heed to the gospel tonight. Now, our speaker this evening is Luke Cartwright from Armagh. I think this is Luke's first time in our hall, so we give him a special welcome amongst us. We trust that he will know God's help as he would make the gospel known tonight. Now, during the week, on Monday, we have our Bible Explorers, and our speaker will be Paul Murdoch tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And then Thursday, we have our prayer meeting and Bible reading at 7:45, and we're continuing our studies in 1 Peter Chapter 1, verse 22 down to chapter 3 and verse 3. And then next Lord's Day, the breaking of bread at 11. We have our Sunday school and Bible class at 3 and the little prayer meeting at 6:30 before the gospel meeting at 7. And next week, we hope to have our brother Noel Brown from the Windsor Assembly. God willing this is, because you're welcome to all of these meetings if the Lord be not come, but they're subject to the Lord's will. Now we'll just hand over to Luke, and we trust that he'll know God's blessing in the meeting tonight.
If you have a Bible with you, can you turn with me to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, please? If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. I'll read very clearly for you so that you can listen as I read. But yeah, thank you very much for the warm welcome, and I extend that to you as well. If it's your first time as well, it's good to see you. If you've been many times, welcome back. And we pray that the message that is given tonight might be a help to you if you're still without Christ. We'll turn to Matthew chapter 27, please. Matthew chapter 27. And we will read verse 11. Matthew chapter 27, verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, that's Pilate, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness unto thee? And he answered him to neither a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. And at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, that's the people that were gathered, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, that's referring to the Lord Jesus, that I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? This is the second time he's asked that question. They said, Barabbas. And Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? I'll read that again. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they said unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he would prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And that will suffice for the reading of God's precious word. Primarily thinking of verse 22. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ. What's been placed in my heart is these words. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? But this is an introduction. Each of us today have made many, many decisions. I'm looking across an audience that have made many decisions, such as what you're wearing today. You decided to put on some trousers or a dress. You've decided to put a hat on. You've decided to put a coat on, a scarf, perhaps a tie, a shirt. And you made a great decision. You all look very good. But then there's also, you've decided to come out this evening. That's another great decision that you've made. Another decision that you've come to a gospel meeting. There's many other places you could spend on a Sunday evening in Newton Breeder, I'm sure. There's many things you could be doing, but you decided to be here this evening. And I'm sure the saints here that are part of this assembly are very glad to see you. There's also other decisions which we've made. What food we've eaten. Perhaps, like myself, you've had a Sunday dinner and you've perhaps had the beef. Maybe too much beef. Or perhaps you've had a bit of the chicken. Or you've perhaps had some turkey and ham. I'm not too sure. But you've all made some great decisions. You've made plenty of decisions. Now, some of them are really small. Perhaps just what you're wearing. Whether you wore those green socks or those blue socks this morning. Or you've made small decisions. Not really much of an impact. But there's also in our life we can provide some big decisions. And as I'm looking across this audience, there's some big decisions that are coming up ahead. There are decisions like, who will you marry? There are decisions like, what will your home be? Where will your home be? What career would you like to do? I'm looking at the younger ones. And what GCSEs would you like to do? What career path? What would you like to do when you're older? These are decisions that are big decisions. But sometimes, even in our business life, I'm looking at the older ones now, where maybe those GCSEs and A-levels are long behind us. But there's big decisions we have to make in the business. We have to make financial decisions. We have to make budget decisions. We have to make decisions of what we're going to do each day in our work life. These decisions are big decisions. In fact, I was reading recently about Amazon. They have this idea of how they decide on what a decision is, which decision to make. They have a way of a two-way door and a one-way door. One of those big decisions are a one-way door. If you make that decision, it's very unlikely that you're going to be turning back. So therefore, the management have to make those decisions. But then there's smaller decisions, which is a two-way door. Someone can make that decision. And if it doesn't go well, that's fine. We can just go back through that door and we can do a different door. There's a two-way door and there's a one-way door. And that's how they decide what to do and which management level are going to take those responsibilities. But sometimes our decisions can be difficult decisions. Decisions which can be described as choosing between a less of two evils. Both are equally just as good, equally just as bad, and we have to make a decision. But that each one has consequences. But all these decisions which we've discussed, the what to wear, whether you've come out this evening, what you've eaten, whether you've done business decisions, I want you to forget about all of those decisions. Because this decision on this question is the most important one. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? This is the greatest decision you're going to have to make in your life. Before you pass from time into eternity, you need to decide what you will do with the Lord Jesus Christ. But before you make that decision, perhaps like at my work, people say, well, hold up, get me up to speed. Help me understand this problem so then I can make a decision. Well, let me get you up to speed. What's the reason for this decision? Why do you need to decide what to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the Bible tells us about a lot of decisions which really influenced history. Some of you perhaps are still in Sunday school or come along to the Children Explorers. You perhaps come along to those and you hear the stories of the Bible. And you hear stories such as when Joseph was taken down into Egypt as a slave. And that decision was made by his brothers and those that sold him down in slavery. And he was taken down into Egypt, and then he brought his family down later on after the Pharaoh and Potiphar and the prison experiences. He brought his family down, and then many years later, that family grew and grew and grew. And then we came to the story of Moses and how they leave Egypt. But that decision was made hundreds of years before by the brothers to sell him to Egypt. There's other decisions, whether Israel wanted to have a king or not a king. And they saw the nations around them that they wanted a king, and therefore they wanted a king. And that decision brought in David and Solomon. We split the kingdom. We have all those good kings and the bad kings. That decision was made. But the most important one, the earliest, one of the first decisions in the Word of God, was given by God to Adam. He formed the Garden of Eden, and he gave Adam an opportunity and said, you can take of any fruit in this garden, any fruit. You see that over there? You can take of that, and that. But of this tree over here, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, do not take of it. Now, Adam had a decision to make. Was he going to obey God or disobey God? And we know the story, how he took of that fruit, and him and Eve took of that fruit and disobeyed God, and sin entered into the world, and death by sin. That decision that was made over 6,000 years ago is the reason why there is wars today. Reasons why we have problems in our lives. The reason why there is financial difficulties, why there is murder, why there is those in prisons, why prisons are even established is because of that decision made then. Because sin entered into the world. And so as I look across this audience, I look at across sinners. And I'm starting here in the platform. Each one of us is a sinner. We've fallen short of God's standard. We have made that decision, like Adam, to disobey God. Every wrong thought that we have, every wrong word that we say, perhaps we've upset our parents, perhaps we've done many things that are wrong. It's not just upset our parents and our friends, but it's ultimately upset God. He's upset the one who created us. He has therefore concluded that all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have come short of that standard of God. And just like in a court case, when someone's been found guilty, a punishment is required. And that punishment is the wages of sin, is death. There's no arguing, that sentence has been passed. There's no change, that sentence has been passed. All have sinned, the wages of sin is death. But if I was to close my Bible and sit down, that would ruin the gospel. The gospel means good news. The reason why we had to make that decision was because of Adam. The decision that we have to make on this question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? The significance of this decision is between life and death. The Bible tells us of two roads, the wide road and the narrow road. Each one of us, because we're sinners, we're on that wide road that leadeth to destruction. We're on that wide road that leadeth to hell and to death. But there are some in this congregation that are on that narrow road that leadeth to life. Are you on that narrow road? Are you on your way to heaven? Have you had your sins forgiven? Or are you still on that broad road that leadeth to destruction? This is a significant decision you have to make. Before you pass from time into eternity, are you going to remain on that broad road? Or are you going to be on that narrow road that leads to heaven? Who's responsible for this decision? In our work, we seem to just go, oh, that's not my fault. No, that's that person's fault. There's a blame game. There's pointing everywhere. Oh, no, that's not my responsibility. I think that's the manager's manner. That's that person. This responsibility for this decision is upon every single one of you. I'm looking across an audience from the variety of ages, from the youngest to the oldest. This decision is for each one of you. The person sat next to you can't make that decision for you. There are those here that have been saved for many years. I'm sure they would love to do that decision for you, to make sure that everyone that walked through those doors was on their way to heaven. But they can't do that. It's an individual thing. If you think of John chapter 3 and verse 16, I'm sure some of the children could quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever. What does that mean? Whosoever. That means every single one of us. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever, that means you. All of us have sinned. We've all fallen short. But God, he wants all of us to be saved. We read in the word of God, he would like all men to be saved. That's mankind. Every single one of us, he wants us to be saved. And yet each one of us have to make that decision personally. To turn from our sin. To realize that we are sinners. That we have fallen short of God's standard. We have broken God's law. And we need to turn back to God. How can we do that? We read in the Word of God, Christ died for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came from heaven. He was born in the place called Bethlehem in Israel. He was wrapped in those swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. The one who could control the universe was wrapped in the swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. I've recently become a father of twins and seeing those two little babies, seeing how helpless they are. We would have seen the Lord Jesus Christ, small babe, and yet he was still in control. He was fully man and fully God. He was the one that we read later on, how he could control the wind and the waves. We think of the story where he's on the boat and it's rocking from side to side and the disciples are worried and said, carest thou not that we perish? And he could get up and he'd, peace be still. And the sea could be calm. It is him who I present to you today. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? There's a man, his name was Hermann Göring. He was a Nazi. He was a man who had been in charge of the Luftwaffe, which is the German Air Force back in World War II. And he was the one who looked after a lot of the regiment in there and was second in command to that dictator Hitler. Now, after the World War II had finished, he had been captured and he was put on trial in a place called Nuremberg. A big, big trial with all these individuals that had much great influence in the Nazi party were put on trial. And during that trial, there was gospel meetings put on. There was one that would, those that would be preaching to them, singing hymns with them. And each night, the man that was responsible for the preaching, he would go to each of the cells of those that were convicted and tell them something of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man, Hermann Göring, he perhaps was one of the worst of them. He did not think he had done anything wrong in World War II. He'd done absolutely nothing. He was completely righteous, he said. And on the night that he'd been sentenced to death, the night before the preacher, he went to go and speak to him in his cell. He was talking to him about Christian things and the conversation came to the Lord's Supper. And the preacher said that it's only for those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I don't think so. Do you not know who I am? No one would refuse me. And the preacher said, no, you have to be saved. He says, well, my daughter, she believes in your Savior, but I'll take my chance. I'll take my chance. That's what he said. I will take my chance. If you pass from time into eternity without making a decision on this, just saying, it's okay, I'll leave it for later. I'll just take my chance. Or maybe I'm good at speaking. No. You can't take your chance. Because that night, that man, he took a cyanide pill and passed from time into eternity. He took his chance. And that man, I presume, is like we read in Luke, lifting up his eyes, being in torment. Dear friends, there are those in this congregation. We've split by the central reservation here. But there's two groups of people in this room. Those that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and those that have not believed. John chapter 3 verse 36 clearly outlines it and says this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's category one. Those that believe hath everlasting life. What's the second category? He that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Which group are you in? I know which side I'm in. I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he came from heaven to die upon the cross of Calvary. He bore my sins on that cross. And he bore yours as well. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be in this group. And you will not be in this group that says, I believe not. So when can you make this decision? We've looked at the significance, the responsibility, now the timing of this responsibility and this decision. Sometimes we procrastinate, don't we? Some decisions we have to make in rapid succession. We have to do it under pressure. We have to do it. This opportunity is passing, my dear friends. We don't have forever. There are some that are young and you say, well, my whole life is ahead of me. Trust me. Those years fly by. It felt like only yesterday I was in primary school. I'm sure there are others that could say the same. Time flies. Time goes by very quickly. In fact, the book of James says, our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Sometimes we procrastinate. Don't do that this evening. Don't be like that man we heard about earlier on. I'll take my chance. The book of Ecclesiastes says this. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. This is real. If I was to go around the room and say, what day were you born? What was your birthday? Well, you could each give me your different dates. What about the day you'll die? It's a bit more difficult, isn't it? But there is one who knows that. And he's the one I've been telling you about this evening. And it's what you think of him. What do you think of him? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? There is a few men that heard this gospel message in the book of Acts. A man by the name of Agrippa. He'd heard the apostle Paul preach to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said this, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. How many gospel messages have you listened to in this building? You say, well, I know how to be saved. Maybe, well, I'm almost a Christian. My dear friends, you need to be saved. You need to be saved today. You can't be almost persuaded. You have to be certain. I know that my sins are forgiven. Do you? Another man by the name of Felix, he could say, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. In other words, not this week, but maybe in a couple of weeks' time, I've got a little slot. Maybe you can call upon me then, and then I'll listen properly, and then I'll become a Christian. That's not possible, because we know, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. I want you to be like the man who was a prison guard. And there was a great earthquake in Philippi, and a man came running into the cell with Paul and Silas there and said, what must I do to be saved? That's the response we need this evening. I don't want you running up to me. I don't want you telling me on the door. You can do it in your seat right now. What must I do to be saved? That's the question that you might be asking. The response that I give to you is the same as Paul that he gave 2,000 years ago. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. How long left? How long do you have left? But in the book of the Bible, the story of Noah, we have a man who preached for 120 years. And only 8 were saved, one of which was this preacher. So there's only 7 saved and brought into the ark. 120 years and only 7 saved. And even when they got into the ark and all the animals had come in and they hadn't closed the door yet, but God still gave them 7 days. 7 days. And still no one would come in. Perhaps you have 120 years left to make this decision. Perhaps, like Jonah, he went to the city of Nineveh and he could say, in 40 days, repent. Perhaps you have 40 days left. Perhaps you're like the baker who was in the prison with Joseph. After he had heard the interpretation of the butler and heard that those 3 days he'll be restored, he said, well, I have also had a dream. What does my dream mean? And Joseph had to tell him, well, 3 days you'll be taken and hanged upon a tree. Perhaps you have 3 days. Or sincerely, in Luke chapter 12, we read of an individual who had a great farm. He had so much crop and he decided to tear down his barns and he decided to build greater. What does God say to him that night? Tonight, thy soul is required of thee. As I look across this audience, this might be the last time that all of us together will be together. I'll close with this story. There's a man, D.L. Moody. He was a preacher who preached out in America, in Chicago, in the 1870s. And he did a series of gospel meetings and was preaching and telling others how they can be saved. And one night he gave this exact same message here. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And he explained to them they need to be saved. But he concluded the message by saying, if you want to know more, come back next week. How you can be saved. He told them how to be saved, but he said, next week, if you want to learn more. Little did he know that between that Sunday and the following Sunday, there was the great fire of Chicago. And many of that congregation that had gathered to hear that word passed away. And that was one of the greatest regrets that he had. My dear friends, I don't want to conclude the message and say, if you want to be saved, listen to next week's gospel message. I hope tonight I've been able to explain that the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven. He died upon a cross of Calvary. He was buried. He rose again so that you can be saved. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Thank you very much for your time. And I hope that this decision that you make, we've made tonight. We don't know how long we've got. We have 40 days, 3 days, or even tonight. We pray that you might be saved. Now let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank thee for this short time we've been able to preach the gospel, to tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done upon that cross of Calvary, how he has bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and that men and women, if they simply trust in him, can be saved. We thank thee for the youngest to the oldest here that have come out this evening. We pray that as something that might have been said might be a help to them, that if there are any that are looking to be saved, we pray that tonight they will make that decision. They will not put it off any longer, but tonight they might turn from their sin and be on their way to heaven. We just leave these things with thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just to conclude, apologies for going a couple of minutes over time. We'll go with 384. 384. It was perhaps expected that I was singing this one. 384. Oh, what will you do with Jesus? The call comes low and sweet, and tenderly he bids you your burdens lay at his feet. Oh, soul so sad and weary, that sweet voice speaks to thee. Then what will you do with Jesus? Oh, what shall the answer be? We'll just read. We'll just sing the first verse with the chorus. of 384.
Oh, what will you do with Jesus, your Father and soul and me?